at the 26-yard line. Henry, running lane. Henry! Turning on the speed, Derrick Henry. Stiff arm. Henry, another. Oh, he's done it again. Oh, Henry! Touchdown, Titans. You knew it was coming.
Blitz coming. Mariota throws in the end zone. Man is there. Touchdown, Titans! Corey Davis, his first ever touchdown catch at Nissan Stadium. That's why you pick him. That's why you want him. And that's why Marcus Mariota is the man.
Welcome to 2024 and welcome to the Transatlantic Titans podcast. This is Adam. I have got Brian with me. How you doing, Brian?
Yeah, not so bad, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad. Greg is here as well. Happy New Year, Greg.
Happy New Year to you and to you and to you.
we're not past the cutoff yet, are we? It's only the 2nd of January. I've had a day back at work, so I must have used it 12 times in emails, and it's just in every instance just replying to somebody who had said it to me. I've gone with the jaunty HNY. I don't know how you feel about that.
Controversial. I don't mind it. It was fine. The first day's fine. It's when people come back from holiday in like a week's time and think, oh, well, you haven't seen me for the last week, so I'll throw it out there then. That's when I starts to really grind on my gears, but nice. First day is acceptable until you hear it for the 25th time.
I don't know. I've come when it gets to January the 20th, obviously stop it. That's ludicrous, but it kind of replaces the I hope you are well. And I don't mind a break from I hope you are well. It's different.
Double up. Happy New Year. Hope you're well.
Maybe we need to bring other things into it, you know. Happy Easter. Hope you had a good Whitsun, that sort of thing.
Hope you are happy.
I hope you are happy. that just sounds passive aggressive. So yes, let's bring that into it. I hope you're happy with what you've done, you horrible piece of work. Anyway, if you wouldn't mind attending to this for me. So should we talk about the Tennessee Titans for a bit? It's been a couple of weeks. We've had lots of Christmas turkey and too much to eat and drink, and a couple of games have happened. But rather than go immediately to that, I'm going to give you a little game, a quiz. So if you want to hear a little bit of music in the background while this is going on, it's just going to be a little game between you. And the last person standing wins. Simple as that. And
this won't last long.
It may not. So I have got a list of names of starting quarterbacks for the Tennessee Titans since 1999. And I wonder if the pair of you can name them all, but you're going to take it in turns. And as soon as someone...
Absolutely not.
As soon as somebody can't name one or gets one wrong, which would be weird, quite frankly, but then we are done. I'm gonna start with you, Brian, for no particular reason.
So well, the most recency bias or what?
Whichever way you want to go with it, it's up to you.
Well, Tannehill was the last one to play, wasn't he?
Ryan Tannehill. There we go. We've at least got one between us. Greg?
I think let's go for the best on our roster right now. Will Levis. I was going to say Malik Willis to wind you up, but I'm not even going to go there.
I mean, you might have given Brian an open goal. But
that's all right. If Brian can't get that one, then...
Is he really a quarterback, though? We'll go Willis.
Okay, we'll get that out of the way so we never have to speak of him again. Greg, your turn.
Marcus Mariota.
Yeah. Back to you, Brian.
The future, Zach Mettenberger.
Yep.
The QB future. One.
I mean, he was for a very brief period, I guess. Greg.
Jake Locker.
I miss Jake. I hope he's doing well in his gym, in Jake's locker, or whatever he called his gym. Brian.
Matt Hasselbeck.
Yeah, underrated. We did underappreciated Matt Hasselbeck. Just a random opinion for a Tuesday. Greg.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. We never got the best of him, but yeah, we got a little bit of him. Brian.
Vince Young,
of course. Whether you blame Fisher or Young, it's always been divisive, that one. Greg.
Let's go Kerry Collins.
It sort of comes sort of in the part and parcel of Vince Young, isn't he? Those two interchanging. Yeah, Brian?
Blaine Gabbert.
How do we take so long to get to Blaine? Of course.
I couldn't remember his name.
Nor can he, I don't think. Just Daddy will do. Watch Daddy sling it. Greg?
Oh, I can't listen to that without cringing. It's a miss that we haven't even said his name yet, I guess, but Steve McNair.
Of course, it is. There we go, Steve McNair. Brian, we're getting into the realms of the more obscure names to get now.
Charlie Whitehurst.
Yes. Clipboard Jesus. Arguably the most handsome quarterback to ever play for the Tennessee Titans. Possibly the worst as well. Greg, there's one or two more that might be worse.
Joshua Dobbs.
Yeah, Josh Dobbs. Yeah. Brian, there are, well, I can tell you, there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 names left.
I know the guy I want to say, but I can't think of his name right now.
Always useful in a quiz.
Yeah. My mind's got completely blank now.
I don't think we've done. I don't think you've embarrassed yourselves, even if this ends now.
I know the guy. I want to say.
Five left. There's five left, you say? I've got two in my head, but
okay.
And I just describe him.
See, well, just describe him and see if he pops into your head.
I think he only ever played a couple of snaps when someone went down injured, and I think he just handed the ball off a few times. I don't think he ever threw a pass.
Oh, he might not. If that's the case, he might not be a starter.
Oh, yes. Sorry, was a starter as well. He's never a starter. Never, ever started.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think I'm out of there.
Okay. Well, Greg, you'll win this game for what it's worth. Who were the two out of the five that you've got?
So, Billy Wallach.
Yeah, yeah.
And the second name, I can't remember if he actually started a game or not. He was definitely, he must have started one when Mariota went down injured. Matt Cassel.
Yeah, yeah, he did. Two or three, Mariota, I think.
Last year.
Yeah, yeah. He played that game in Miami, didn't he, where we always lose in Miami, and that was, other than this season, weirdly. But that was no exception. Do you remember that egregious fumble recovery? Like, he threw a pass about 20 yards and they ruled it a fumble, and someone from the Dolphins picked it up and returned it for a touchdown.
I remember.
Is that when Luan got absolutely flattened from the side?
No, that was the Miami longest ever game.
Oh, they when
he got actually knocked out, you mean? Yeah, that was that one, I think.
Yeah.
Did Rusty Smith ever start a game?
Yeah, Rusty Smith did. Ludicrous. I want to know who Brian was thinking of. Well, then maybe we'll never get
it. It wasn't even that long ago he was on the roster. Like, within last two or three years.
Woodside.
I think we, yeah, Logan Woodside. That's what I was thinking of.
He never started. The other two that you haven't got, Neil O'Donnell, just kind of an oversight. And Matt Mork started one game in 2005, memorable. And yeah, solid effort, lads. And that put off talking about the present until now, which is good. So here we go. I did kind of put a little Discord message, seeing if anyone had anything yet that they wanted to say. What's changed in the last 2 weeks? I mean, it's two losses, not a lot. Will Levis started one of those games. Tannehill played the other one and most of the second one. I asked kind of what you've learnt, if anything, from the last couple of weeks. Tom Vincent says, learnt that if we don't draft a tackle in the first two rounds or don't take Alt or Fashanu if available, then there's some serious malpractice in the front office. Music to Neil's ears, this, who I think still would love to see us take a shiny wide receiver. But what are your thoughts, Brian? We have to take offensive line, don't we? We have to look. We have to address this.
Yeah, it can't be anything other than it. I know we've had a few misses, but they were all under a different GM. Don't get me wrong. If we can get that, Marvin Harrison, you've got to. I don't know if you can pass him up, but I don't think he falls to us anywhere. So then it has to be O-line. Has to be. We're seeing historically bad O-line play, especially from the left tackle position. Over the last two seasons, anyone who's plugged in, I mean, is pretty horrific. If you look at the statistics, I think Dillard has got the worst sacks given up in the league, and he's only played half the games.
I don't know why I'm laughing. Well, you have to. What else can you do? It showed, I mean, they benched him on Sunday for a hurt Jalen Duncan. I think mostly just to try and prevent further injuries to quarterbacks. And it was
also on pace for a historically bad season.
Well, I guess slightly less bad is the thing there. And if you're, you know, this is the big free agent signing from the offseason, and he's less preferable to a very late round rookie who's not even healthy, and it's not good. There was the odd flash, I would say, of what Will Levis and Ryan Tannehill can still do behind an O-line when they get a bit of protection. Kind of like a couple of two-minute drills where you just watch them and think, Tannehill can still play a bit. Will Levis can play. But there are rare occasions that they get a little bit of time. They can still find guys open downfield. Will Levis for the quarter and a half or whatever he played on Sunday looked good when he wasn't running for his life. That deep ball to Treylon Burks on the first three and out, which he obviously should have hauled in, really, and a couple of more absolutely beautiful throws. And that was a fourth down conversion. It looked he sort of three or four reads and he found an open receiver. It's kind of touching on what you said, Greg, when we last spoke, really, is there any point in throwing into the Wolves at this stage? We kind of debated it a bit. Like, I kind of want to give him an opportunity to develop and improve. But by this point, it's the offensive line play, all of it is so, so bad. And it just did seem, and I agree with you, it did seem inevitable that he was going to get hurt on Sunday. And the only positive really is it doesn't look anything serious. He got trodden on, maybe a concussion, but surely he's not going to play this week.
Mike Vrabel, hold my beer. I don't know. I was amazed that he was thrown into that game to a certain extent. I do understand the people who say, you know, he needs to play for his development and to get those snaps in and to get those reps. I don't disagree with the mindset behind that. But with this O-line, you're not giving him any meaningful reps. You know, all you're basically going to be able to teach him is, okay, how many times can you get sacked before you do get injured? Or how can you run away from an offensive line that ultimately is just going to kill you? So I don't see the benefit of it. I certainly don't see the benefit of it this Sunday. I think it was a case against Houston that they obviously felt he was good to go. But
I think he probably was, for what it's worth, like his own health.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I mean, those kind of high ankle sprains, they're not normally a week or two.
Yeah, but he didn't look as if he didn't look bad.
No. I think a lot of quarterbacks have those injuries and play through them, and generally you wouldn't notice most of the time unless they get hit again. For me, I just do not see the benefit of him playing Sunday. I do not see the benefit of risking an injury. You know, the Jags defense is capable. It's not the best in the league, but it's definitely got some pass rushers there that will get to him. I mean, you probably don't even need much of a pass rush to get to him with the O-line we've got. I'm just fed up of watching the O-line.
What occurred to me about this is that actually, in hindsight, like I was banging the let's give him a bit more experience drum a little bit. I've kind of come out having seen just how horrific it was on Sunday. And I mean, the Seahawks game, Tannehill did okay, but they were still causing him problems. My issue was, I think maybe if we were playing a team or two that didn't have anything on the line and were kind of a middling or they're out of contention for the playoffs or something like that, I could see it. But the Texans and the Jags, who are both desperate to win for their own playoff hopes, they were motivated, and the Jags will be absolutely up for it this week. They need to assuming that the Colts and Texans don't tie, they need to win the division. So yeah, there's going to be no respite.
You just can't take the sacks that we're taking at the moment, and I think it's six in each in the last two games. I think it was seven maybe in the game before that. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's been tweeted that it was 60, however many sacks it is this year. We thought the O-line couldn't get worse after last season, and here I am sitting there thinking, if Dennis Daly's available next year, he's probably an upgrade. So it's ridiculous. It's a situation that I don't think it's just down to the personnel and the talent on the field, although that is a massive factor of it. I have to put a lot of this down to coaching, because I'm not seeing improvement. I'm not seeing any development. And it's even, and I'm not going to, I don't want to criticize Peter Skoronski, but because of what he's got around him, but even him, individual battles and duels that he's had has not been at the same levels we were seeing earlier on this year. Now that is partly down to what he's got around him, I have no doubt, but at the same time, you can't help but think, is this helping his development? Is this helping him become the player that he could become? It's just, for me, every single time we get the ball on offense, you're just waiting for it. And it was just predictable, especially on third and fourth down plays, where you just knew Tannehill was going to get sacked. You just did not have, there was a few plays where he literally, as soon as the ball hit his hands, he had pressure in his face. And no quarterback in this league is going to be able to do anything with that. So I don't think you can criticize Tannehill. I don't think you can criticize Levis. You can't criticize those guys because they're doing what they can, what they've got. But I'm just fed up of seeing this offensive line, because it is just, it's boring to watch. It's just the only play I can think of in the last 6-7 weeks where we've actually not just absolutely crumbled up front was that one against Miami, where I think Levis ended up having quite a bit of time to, I don't want to say it was Hopkins, I might be wrong, but it just felt like every other play this year, you're just waiting for it to crumble in front of the quarterback. And unless the ball goes out quickly, it's just a shambles to watch.
Right. And anything in the last couple of games that you want to take away? Is it all doom and gloom, or is anything remotely cheery that we can talk about?
I don't know. There's not much to cheer about, but the fact that we've got a 2,000-yard all-purpose backs and a 1,000-yard receiver, and we've won, was it 5 games?
How has that happened?
It's absolutely mad, isn't it?
Genuinely not sure. There must be a statistical error somewhere, I assume. I mean, receivers-wise, well, we've had nothing for Burks of any note, have we? Chris Moores looked all right in patches.
He's been all right. Yeah, he's been solid.
Westbrook Akina is obviously now injured, but that's wide receiver four. But yeah, there's not much else, I suppose, is the reason for it.
Another season decimated by injury again.
Should be it. Let's add some more doom and gloom and talk about Treylon Burks because. We talked about the deep shot that Levis threw, and which, by the way, I think was absolutely on point, perfect throw. I don't understand what we can do to get this guy involved, because anything intermediate is just going to Hopkins. Anything deep down the field, he can't get there for. I do not see where this guy ends up going. And another one that I wanted to mention as well was Caleb Murphy, who in the preseason, I think, led the sacks in NFL for preseason. And I was saying, yeah, this guy deserves an opportunity. He's been there the whole year, has been inactive pretty much every single week. Until this week, when he decides to run into the punter and give them an automatic first down, which at that stage of the game, it was actually a bit more in the balance. It wouldn't have been in the balance for long, I'm sure.
I'd have been, just imagine how angry we'd have been if that game mattered or that cost us. Obviously that's the drive. They then go down the field and score a touchdown. I agree with you. I don't think the result would have been any different, but it might have been closer. It might have been a bit more fun. It might be more watchable. It's things like that that kill you. Like you're a losing team and you can't, you can't buy a win really, other than that ludicrous game in Miami. Those are the things that happen to you. I'm just as stupid as it gets.
Because defensively, considering you and I, funny enough, was looking at the players who played that game. Outside of a few starters, I'm thinking like McCreary, Landry, Aziz El-Shaair, like probably the only three guys, unless I'm missing someone obvious, the only three guys really that are starters that played in that defense. Danico Autry maybe as well. But everyone else is kind of backup, undrafted, free A's. There's a Hooker's out, isn't he? He's injured. I'm probably missing someone else, if I am. Apologies. But there's a lot of guys missing in that defense. And they kind of they've held their own quite a lot in recent weeks. We held, I think, the Seahawks to, I want to say, 20 points. I think we held the Texans first time to 19, albeit that was with Case Keenum. We conceded 26 on Sunday, but I think a lot of those, field goals that they got towards the end were kind of garbage time, really. That defense, considering the lack of talent it has, hasn't been embarrassed. We're not conceding 40, 50 points a game. But the offense is just, you can't go into a game and score 3 points. I don't care what talent you've got on the field. I don't care who your coordinator is. There's been too many games this year where this offense has been humbled and we're not learning from it. And that's the biggest issue I've got with this team right now, is they don't learn from it. Every week, it doesn't seem to get better. You don't see small improvements. You just see the same crap every single week. And it's just like, I know we're at a stage now where no one wants to win games. That's fine. If that's the way you want to watch the rest of the season, that's absolutely fine. I understand why you would want to do that. But you don't have to win games to see improvement, because I'm not seeing it anywhere on the field right now. There's no one really shining out to me to say he's fighting for his job or he's fighting for a roster place next year. Bar the guys that are always consistent, the Landrys, the Autrys, etc.
Mike Vrabel swore in a press conference today about losing. It sucks. It effing sucks. And were his words. He didn't bleep himself. He looked really hacked off, even for him. And it tells me he's obviously not trying to lose. He wants to get his players playing a tune and doing just showing up. But it's so difficult when you've got so many injuries now on defense, and well, obviously no Kevin Byard. He's been traded away. Offensively, we've the the line is doing nothing. There have been some injuries, but it's just mostly just the fact it's been woeful. Skill position players are largely fit, but it's not quite functioning as you say. Other than the sort of the three big names, we need to give a bit more love to Spears, who's quietly got to 1,000 all purpose yards. Really good from him. Just every time he touches the ball, you think he's beaten somebody. He's got a move on somebody, and he looks great. I don't know how Derek Henry's got 1,000 yards again behind that line. I just don't know. It feels like he's struggling every single game. Not his fault.
Probably 900 after contact.
Yeah. You're probably right. I mean, it's phenomenal what he's still doing when you think about it, and really getting no plaudits for it.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting met in the backfield almost every play now, and it's going to be so one-dimensional. We're just so easy to play against. It's just boring and turgid. It's unwatchable at times.
I'm looking forward, and I'm hoping it will be with us, but I know not everyone will probably hope for the same thing, but I'd be really intrigued to see Derrick Henry behind a decent offensive line. And whether it's us fixing that and him staying another year, or whether he moves on in the off season. Because I still think with a good offensive line, that guy can easily get 1,500, 2,000 yards a season. But it's just a situation where, you know, he is just met by a wall every single play at the moment. And it's just sad.
This might sound crazy, but a year ago with Dennis Daly, I actually think he had a much better situation than he does now. And I think for the O-line and their woes last year, it was mostly pass blocking. We could still kind of run block, and he was getting some success. That's what's been missing this year. Well, it's all been missing, hasn't it? But that's been the biggest change, and that's really horrible to see him just getting stuffed play after play, and not getting as many touches kind of because of it. It's just we've not really got any choice. It hasn't.
Can't give him touches if you're always in third and long.
Well, yeah, quite. Doesn't stop the old second and 10 handoff up the middle, but. Then you're third and long, aren't you, every time?
So interestingly, his carries has gone from, if ESPN is correct, his carries have dropped from 349 to 261. Now, that's partly down to Spears being introduced, but a lot of that is down to just not having Henry in the right situations. Last year, behind that pretty terrible O-line, he still run for 1,500 yards.
We're still using Hilliard a lot last year as that alternative back. So
yeah, I don't think you saw Hilliard quite as much on early downs. I think Hilliard every third down was pretty much in. But yeah, I agree with you. He was used for sure. I still think he's got something to offer. The biggest problem is going to be his contracts, and there's no way the Titans are going to pay him what they've been paying him. If it was a Patriots Elliott style deal where it was much more favorable to the team, then I think I can definitely see him staying. But I can also see them deciding, you know, we can still run the ball without Derrick Henry, or they will feel they can still run the ball without Derrick Henry and moving on. It wouldn't surprise me if they did. I hope they don't, because I still think he's got a lot to offer. And wherever he ends up, if he's in the right team with the right coordinators and the right offensive lines, I think people will be asking, why do we let him go? Because I think he could easily go for another 2,000-yard season if he's got the right players and the right scheme around him.
Well, 2,000 seems incredible for a back with his miles on the clock, but he's not just a guy, is he? He's incredible.
He's had 1,000 yards this year. 1,000 yards this year behind that offensive line, regardless of how many carries you've had. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Definitely. All right. I don't know how much more we want to talk about this team, if I'm honest. Brian, just a quick word on this week, the Jags. Anything you want to see? Anything you kind of expect from the game? Or are we just now on waiting for the off season and just hope it's over as quickly as possible?
I will still watch because creatures of habit, aren't we? But
oh, we'll still watch. Of course,
I'm expecting a good hammering. If I'm honest, we've got nothing to play for. I know we want to play spoil, but I just don't think we're good enough to spoil at the minute. Is Lawrence back? I'm not quite sure if he is or not.
I think so.
No idea.
Don't know.
Regardless, we'll lose anyway.
Yeah,
we'd lose to Blake Bortles at the minute.
If it's CJ Beathard, yeah, I'm not backing us.
No,
I mean, the Jags haven't looked great in the last few weeks, but it helps they had the doctor of Carolina Panthers to come and see them a week ago, so that was gave them a pretty easy win, which will boost their confidence. I don't see any reason why they don't win and make the playoffs, probably winning the division if they do so, I think. So, yeah, it's just let's get it over with, really.
Yeah.
I'll give you one little reason to be cheerful. For the first time this year, it's going to be Kevin Harlan. And if he doesn't make you smile, unfortunately, I'll be mostly getting excited about Jags plays rather than Titans ones, but it's still something.
It's an early kickoff as well, which is always good.
So. Yeah, no Saturday night or we haven't
no
had
Saturday night or Sunday night or anything like that. No,
it's been a lot of 6 p.m. games this year, which is as it should be, really. But yeah, we're nearly there. It's nearly done.
Titan slot.
Little bit of news: Colton Dowell has injured his. We saw him obviously go out of the game at the weekend. He's got ACL injury, meniscus tear. Doesn't look great for him. Obviously, hopefully he can. You know, he's largely pretty much just been a special teamer. Hopefully he's back next year at some point. But the timing of the injury suggests it might not be for the start of the year, which is obviously a shame for him. But a little bit of promise from what I've seen. But yeah, that's gonna set him back sadly. So bad news for him. One thing we haven't said or haven't talked about is a small thing to smile about from the Seahawks game, and that was Derek Henry throwing a pass to Chig in the end zone. Chig's first touchdown of the year. Not the Kings with his arm, but he, yeah, he just, I think is it, there's some stat he's thrown like the most passing touchdowns in of whatever number of passes he's thrown of anybody or something. But at least five or six he's now got. Just love it. And that's the sort of, it's like Big Jeff getting a touchdown earlier in the year. We need to cling to these little things. And I did enjoy that on Christmas Eve.
It wasn't the prettiest throw, was it?
Shut up.
Has he now tied Tannehill for the number of touchdowns he scored this year?
Yes, he has. two apiece.
I wasn't sure if Tannehill, the game just gone, wasn't sure if he'd taken it back over again, but no, that makes sense.
Henry great slightly stuff. Pips him on the rushing touchdowns as well, just slightly. So
just a touch, yeah.
But I've got to love that. What else can you do? Final question from Langers, Rob, on Discord. And this is vital. Start with you, Greg. Do you prefer Christmas Day or Boxing Day?
Oh, Boxing Day.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
Who the hell likes Christmas Day? It's all about Boxing Day. Football's on, usually at a game, or if I'm not at a game, it's on TV all day. Yeah, it's give me Boxing Day over Christmas Day any day of the week.
What about yourself, Brian?
Definitely Boxing Day.
Oh, I don't know. I'm a Christmas cynic in general, but I've enjoyed it a bit more the last few years. Kids help you do that. Christmas Day is still special. The escapism of Boxing Day, you do need it afterwards. You need to go back to sport on the TV. But there were, I think, three NFL games on Christmas Day, weren't there? But I wasn't, not fortunate enough to watch those. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Christmas Day is still good. The food's good. The food stays good on box. It's all good.
Christmas Day is great when Mahomes loses a game. Makes Christmas Day a lot more enjoyable watching Patrick Mahomes looking miserable.
Oh, we should have just talked about other teams instead of the Titans on here. That'd be more fun, wouldn't it? Okay. All right.
There's another
bit of,
podcast, I'm sure.
There are plenty of podcasts available. I'm pretty sure we're the... Well, no, I know. Well, I say I know. We're the only UK-based Titans podcast. And if we're not, whoever the other one is really isn't doing a good job of promoting themselves. Yeah, non-Titans related to finish. Anything you want to talk about? Brian, what's been going on?
Not a lot this year. This last week or so. I haven't really done a lot, so I've not really been out. I got stitched up by work. That was fun. So I'm not going to bore you with the details.
Was this you thinking you had a day off, or you'd booked a day off and they got the day wrong?
No, this was... they asked for volunteers to work over Christmas for double time. So a bunch of us volunteered. And then the HR said about 2 days before we broke up that they weren't going to pay us. So everyone was like, well, we're not going to work then. So I said, I'm not working. I'd rather have the time off over Christmas. To which they replied, well, you signed a contract after 2021. So therefore, you are contractually obliged to work anyway. So I said, so it was never voluntary. So I worked 3 days over Christmas by myself, which was horrendous and ruined my Christmas, to be honest. But I won't go into it too much, but I felt like I was a bit stitched up by the company there, which I've been quite positive about the company so far. So it's the only bad experience I've had. But yeah, it was kind of annoying. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to go into some story. I spent Christmas alone this year anyway, so in the end, it didn't actually matter. I haven't even... I don't want to turn it into a sob story for me. I've had a bit of a miserable Christmas, if I'm honest. So, yeah, why I said Boxing Day.
Hopefully somebody there or the right people there remember that you did that and note that you did that.
Yeah, well, that's it. In the end, I could have volunteered to just do the one, but then my other colleagues who started at the same time as me would have had to work a day. They both had children, so I decided to take one for the team and we worked all three. Mm. So I kind of maybe got a bit of bit in lieu for next time. Maybe for next year, but if I'm there next year, who knows?
Well, fingers crossed. The payback comes in some form. Greg, what's going on? Happy New Year, by the way. Did I say that?
Yeah, Happy New Year, guys. Yeah, Happy New Year. For me, it's an exciting weekend. It's if you're lucky enough to make the third round of the FA Cup. It's FA Cup third round weekend this weekend, which when you support a lower league team is always exciting. We got drawn against Maidstone, which is not the big cup tie we're all hoping for. But what I wanted to kind of moan about when it comes to FA Cup is the televised games for the FA Cup this year. The FA Cup is all about the magic of the cup. It's all about those lower league teams playing, you know, someone several divisions above them. You know, it's a massive payday for those clubs that could fund them for years.
No,
just
get
into the third round.
It's about Tottenham against Burnley. That's what it's about.
Yeah, Tottenham, Burnley, Crystal Palace, Everton, Arsenal, Liverpool, Wigan, Man United. Like, it's absolute nonsense. Like, put games on that where people are actually going to be interested because it's about the glamour of the cup. No one cares about watching Man United play Wigan. That's ridiculous. It really annoyed me because I
want to see
Steve on TV, by the way. But it really annoyed me. I'm sure there's better cup ties out there. Sorry, Adam.
Newcastle-Sutherland.
It's they're either all Championship, Premier League, or Premier League versus Premier League teams. And I know why they do it, because they think, oh, all the Premier League teams are going to have bigger audiences, but it's not what the cut's about.
Arsenal, Liverpool, and Sunderland, Newcastle both make sense. The rest of them don't. I want to see games either in an absolute quagmire at some tin pot stadium, or these days on a plastic pitch, because the non-league teams play on plastic pitches to keep them in business these days. That's probably what Maidstone play on, I imagine. That's what I want to see. I want to see wind and rain battered sideline reporters doing the links because the club they've gone to don't have a studio. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see Tottenham v Burnley on a Friday night. Well, I'll watch.
That's from a Tottenham fan. It is ridiculous. Like for me, it's that's what the cup's all about, and it has been for years. And they're trying to change it all anyway and make games midweek, and Premier League teams don't even care about it. I mean, you look at a lot of the Premier League games, or those games in particular. I mean, Spurs will stick a load of reserve players out for that game. I have absolutely no doubt. And there'll be other teams that do the same, but it's just, yeah, kills what the magic of the cup's all about.
I could not agree more. It doesn't directly bring us to what I wanted to mention, which was, I mentioned Kevin Harlan. Now, this is for you, Neil, this discussion, because the main commentator on Sky TV is, as of this season, Peter Drury. Now, he's been around for quite a long time. I remember him from doing Champions League games back on ITV back in the day. And he used to annoy me with his, not so much his hyperbole, but just getting overexcited and almost cocky about, seemingly players with good reputations. And if Mo Salah gets the ball, or whoever it was back then, then the inevitability about them doing something great and the faux excitement, and it used to bug me. And then he was off our screens for ages, and you get the odd clip doing the rounds on social media from the World Feed or whatever he's doing in the meantime, or for America, the Reverend TV, wherever he's been, and you think, oh, I miss Peter Drury. Oh, that's what we need. We need some of that excitement back. We need that level of theatrics, and let's bring him back to it. So when that Sky appointed him to replace Martin Tyler as their main man this season, I thought, great, I'm going to enjoy this. And some of it I probably have, but he's just, over a whole 90-minute match, it's just too much. Like the scripted introductions and endings of his games, like something out of a Shakespeare play. You don't even understand half the words he comes out with. Just dumb it. I mean, Neil's been spitting feathers about this. Neil wants him replaced with a bucket or something. But I don't mind Peter. Just tone it down a notch. Just a notch. Remember your audience. Your audience aren't really thespians. They're football fans. Just calm it down a little bit.
Yeah, his opening yesterday was a bit over the top, wasn't it?
A little bit.
You've been writing that for weeks.
I was just talking, could you imagine the hysteria if Birmingham City drew Burnley in the cup? The NFL UK hysteria.
Can you not? Can we not? No.
Oh. It'd be getting showed live on NFL Network and everything.
Tom Brady versus JJ Watt. No, they're nothing to do with it. Shut up.
Hey, did you notice just before the Newcastle Liverpool game last night, they were watching the darts, and they were about 5 minutes before the match. They were watching the end of the darts before the match. It was quite entertaining actually, because I think Matt Gerwin was on. They kept missing the doubles. Did you not see it in the coverage?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it was class. It was very something you wouldn't expect from Sky Sports.
Just mixing it up a bit.
JJ Watt's a Chelsea fan, isn't he?
Burnley diehard now.
Oh, is he? Okay. It's ironic.
Burnley. I'll just...
Anyone. Yeah.
Let's get out of here.
The team.
It's all right. They'll die soon. And like, it's the way Vincent Kompany has them playing. They think they're Man City. So they'll be back in the Championship in no time at all. And then he won't care as much.
Oh, he'll drop him like a stone. He'll absolutely...
He'll be a Man City fan or something.
I can't wait. Well, I can't wait to see the next shirt he puts on for shameless cause. Anyway, please, please, let's no more of this.
It'll be an Oilers shirt, by the way.
Yeah. I'm not sure I have an Oiler up in me. I don't think I have a Titan up in me. It's just let's bring on the off-season. We'll watch Sunday from behind the sofa, wherever it needs to be. I'm just Hope that somehow no team from the AFC South makes the playoffs. How about that? We will catch you soon. Bye for now.
See you, mate.